Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Scott.
Oh, hello, Doc. How are you tonight?
It's one of them days.
One of them days.
One of them days. Beautiful day. It's already August. Do you realize it's going to start snowing here in another few weeks?
Oh, man. That's rough. No. August, September 6th. We got 10, 11 weeks yet.
Yeah.
I hope. Oh.
Better part of the summer, it rained.
Tell me about it. I know all about it. Put me behind.
Why don't you sound as good as you did before the show started, Scott?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I haven't changed. I haven't moved.
What do you... sounds like you're doing dishes or something. I don't know.
Genius.
What?
Doing dishes. He can hear you. No, I'm back to lunch. Oh, back to my lunch.
She's packing. What do you eat? A Jethro Bodin lunch?
No. That's all.
Okay. Anyway, Norwood Jewels. Get to Norwood. A good old Norwood.
Yeah. I was hoping Jim would be on tonight. Because I believe he went down. Last time I knew, he was going down Detroit to the sentencing. The federal judge did throw the minimum guidelines out, and Norwood was sentenced to 15 months. Don't wish you get 15 years. he deserved it. The federal prosecutor had asked for a fine to be imposed on Norwood Jewel of $95,000. And Norwood Jewel's attorney was successful in arbitrating to the judge that Norwood Jewel's finances are already in the negative.
Good.
And the judge did not allow the $95,000 fine to go through. Go ahead.
No, did he get a fine at all?
No.
Oh.
He's got 15 years.
Month.
Man, I'm telling you, this wishful thinking of mine, I'm telling you. 15 months. All right, let's put it this way. He got 1.3 years. All right? 1.3 years in a minimum security prison, federal prison, down in West Virginia. I have somebody checking. They believe that one. You're going to love this, Doc. As a golf course.
Sold out the membership, and he's going to a fancy club.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. It's bad because I was reading on some other Facebook pages, and I can't remember which one it was, but somebody made a statement, and I agreed earnestly and in heart with them. They said, that's fine. The guy that negotiated a bad contract on purpose against the membership goes to prison basically with a little slap on his hand and a pat on the tushy, right?
Resort,
but the guy, yeah, like he's at a resort.
Yeah.
But But the guy said, it still doesn't change that we have, still have crooks in place down in Detroit that are negotiating a contract. I'm going, wow. You're right. I mean, I don't know how to say it. You're right. You know, because the federal prosecutors said when they're done, they're not done. He said, we're not done. This was just this department. They still got Ford and Chevrolet and the General Motors department to go yet.
Yeah.
Which tells me that Jimmy Stills will probably be down there with him, and it looks like maybe Cindy Estrada might be, you know, their caddy for him. I don't know. You know, only wish.
Did you see the statement the UAW put out?
No, I did not.
Okay, the sentencing of Norwood Jewell speaks for itself. The UAW leadership is determined to earn back our members' trust with our clean slate reform agenda and take no prisoners approach at the bargaining table, where we will draw the line on more concessions to the auto industry, flush in profits. What they actually said is no more concessions, but we're not going to try to get any back that we gave up. That's what I read into this little statement.
Nice. Coming from the corrupt president who has a big party and kept people out at Palm Springs for months at a time, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, not to cross over to your show last night, but that sounds like a very well-polished politician. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what they are, politicians.
I'm saying a whole lot without saying a thing.
No more concessions. It doesn't say anything in this statement about let's try to get some back that we lost. Let's try to help the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many tiers is in there now? I don't know.
Right.
None of that. They just don't want to give up no more. Hell, you can't give up anymore.
Well,
there's hardly anything to take.
That I agree with. I think Dick Danjen, I think about you in 1979. You were there. You remember that agreement that you guys had.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a year later, they opened up that contract and started pulling stuff back out. It was good. I mean, it was good.
It was the richest contract in history. And it was a year later, Roger Smith was crying, and the UAW let him we had to take a vote, and of course the membership again screwed themselves by yes, we'll give some concessions back.
Right.
Never to see them again. Never get close to seeing those again. PAA days, it was great.
Yeah, floating holiday. 13 of them, if I remember right.
It was something like that. It was great because you pop up, you look at the calendar. Oh, I don't have to be to work tomorrow. You know, they just pop up out of the blue. Really nice.
Beautiful.
With pay.
Beautiful. Well, that's fine. So, anyway, I think about what you just said, and I think back to 79 contract. Everything you guys got from that point to now, how every contract has been major. There's been two that haven't been as concessionary, but there's been concessions given. And then from like 2000 on, every one of these contracts has been concessionary. With that being said, the only two things that you have left is your pension, my future pension,
right,
and health care. That's about it. I mean, you've let them have, you negotiated the tier language in so that the in progression / tier two workers will never make our wages. You read that out, it says they are capped out at $28 in general agreement. They're capped out. You made it so that the people that used to be part of General Motors, you let them subsidize, and they became GM Holdings LLC. And we just opened up a new, I don't want to say it's a depot, storage, warehouse, parts, AC Delco and General Motors parts supplier, whatever, here in Flint. We're going to hire 800 people. Listen, people, this is what I'm trying to say. The national contract says that people can go over there are to be GM Holding LLC employees. In the contract, it tells you they start out at right about, I believe, $9.75 an hour. And if you're lucky enough to work for them for 10 years, you'll top out at $19 an hour.
Yeah, let me get John on.
Sure.
I thought I hit it. Hold on. John just disappeared.
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, is this
John?
Yeah, that is John.
Hey.
The other number
disappeared.
All right.
Yeah, my other number. I was listening to you guys. I was on my way back home from Solidarity Sunday meeting. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see the video that Adrian, Brian, and I did on Facebook Live.
No, I
but,
didn't see
Oh, is that one with the video sideways?
Yeah, that's the video sideways.
Yeah, I seen it.
Yeah, we met at the VFW in Trenton, and it's with traffic. It's a little over an hour to get back home, so
Wow. We
ran kind of late, and I had to get the hall cleaned up because I rented a hall for us, the hall at the VFW for us, and it was pretty good. I think we put out a lot of good information, and so I was listening to you guys, but I didn't want to jump on earlier because I knew I was going to run through a crappy reception area shortly before I get to my house.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's been going on with you guys this last week? Or talk about what you guys talked about on the video.
We basically were reaching out to the members and asking them to start talking and communicating, and to, because this affects their lives, their families, all of our lives and our families, to pay attention this year and look at the changes in the contract, and to support one another. No more cannibalizing and selling each other out. It's time to come together in solidarity and support traditional union values of equality for all members. We talked about some of the corruption and how we support, absolutely, we support the union and the bargaining process, but we also brought up the concerns, the very legitimate concerns about our leadership still effectively fighting and bargaining strongly on our behalf and having any kind of faith or confidence in them to fight for us. So we talked about a little bit of Lordstown, about how Cindy Estrada sold out those good-paying jobs to contract those out to lower-paying jobs. And one of the members of Solidarity Sunday, he's a General Motors guy, looked up in the Constitution, Article 19, that they may have been in violation of the Constitution. Surprise there, right? I know. But Article 19 in the Constitution, basically what it states is that the international can't bargain behind the local's back and make deals without consulting the local and basically putting it to a vote, which they never got to do.
Right.
Right. So we touched on that. Talked about some facts and figures, the record profits for 10 years. We the workers are always the whipping post. We're the ones that always get punished for everything and are made to pay for everything. Yet the CEOs and the executives never have to take pay cuts or concessions. They get bonuses and pay raises.
Right.
And it is definitely our turn to get what we deserve. And so, yeah, we were reaching out to the members, asking them to stand in solidarity and support each other and vote accordingly. And because we do strongly support the bargaining process, part of that process is to make sure that they get out and vote. And so we don't run into the situation like the Teamsters with the UPS contract, where they were the members voted it down, but their voter turnout wasn't good, so the international overrode it. Remember that one?
Yeah.
So
here within the last 3 months.
Yeah. Oh. So we want to make sure that that our voices are heard and that we stand together in solidarity.
Right. Now,
I hope that came out good. I know it was kind of sideways, but the you know, we had a power cord plugged into the phone, and so we couldn't stand it upright. It wouldn't stand upright because of the power cord. But we ended up having to unplug it, and then we tilted it up so that we were right side up and not sideways.
Right, right. You know, as we talk about these things that are happening and communicating, people need to understand that they're going to be watching these Facebook sites diligently.
Oh, yes,
don't
absolutely.
Don't let that stop. You need to keep talking, and if you put this on your personal page and share it with friends that way, then so be it. But keep talking about what's going on. Hold your local elected officials. Hold them accountable for what's going on. Don't let them give me a song and dance, because a lot of people wrote some suggestions of things they'd like to see coming out of the national agreement. And I'm going to tell you, probably 85% of those that was written the trash can. In light of Norwood Jewell getting sentenced Monday to 1.3 years, I guess damn 15 years, I was wishful thinking.
Yeah.
We still have the same people down there, except for Jimmy Settles is retired. And Dennis Williams is gone, but I'm sure Settles and Williams still hold a position down at Solidarity House, as has all older presidents and vice presidents have done. They hold a special appointed job somewhere. Well, they're still getting paid. They're getting the dual pension, and they're getting a paycheck.
Yeah, and you know, I absolutely believe that you're right. I think that the International is going to be and has been monitoring social media. They've already come out. The region put out a memo to the local, what was that, 2209 that posted it? Discouraging communication on social media about the contract. They definitely don't want us talking, and I've been seeing a lot of retiree international reps who are retired posting on Facebook more than I have ever seen before. So it's like they have all hands on deck to try to counter the communication between the members, but I don't think that they're going to be successful. Communication between us, the last contract, greatly helped in getting a little, getting more people on involved and on the same page. And look what we did. We shocked them because they never expected Chrysler to vote the contract down. And
right.
We did that because we talked to each other and we took a stand. I think we need to take a little bit harder stand this time. But yeah, so the communication is good for us. And that's one of the things that we talked about was good communication. And, you know, if you're concerned about how your brothers and sisters are feeling about the contract, well, just talk to them and let them know where you stand. Because I made it quite clear in that video that I am standing with my brothers and sisters, period. Because when we stand together, if you're worried about your paycheck and your benefits and your family, we're all worried about that. And the only way to benefit yourself is to stand with your brothers and sisters. That's how the union works.
Right. Well, so, united you stand, divided you fall, right?
Exactly. So when you when you cast a vote and you are casting that vote in support of your brothers and sisters to make sure that everyone is getting what they deserve and we have equality back in the union, that is going to improve your life, your paycheck, your benefits. That's the only way that you can take care of you is by taking care of all of us. Did that make
right.
sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I said this, and I'm sure you said it too. You know, I'd rather die standing than begging on my knees.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that one, brother.
And what we have in this last week, I kind of got talked down a little bit before the show. General Motors is getting hit with, it appears it's going to be a huge civil lawsuit. Ford has just now had to pull back its main launch, or if it has launched already, they're pulling the vehicle back. There's a major recall on the 2020 Explorer and the Lincoln, not the Navigator, but it's one of the crossover SUVs, because you put it in park and it's rolling. And I mean, all this quality crap that happens right now, of all these manufactured vehicles, it's not the fault of the people. Don, and you and I, and everybody, we've said this multiple times, we build a vehicle with the product that they put in front of us to build. And if we tell them that we think these parts are subpar, if they tell us to use those parts, then we have to use those parts. We don't have a say in how they do the business. The operating
exactly.
clause is there's an operating clause in every one of these times in General Motors, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler. There is an operating clause somewhere in those agreements. It basically says, it's our business, we'll run it the way we want to, and no, you don't have a say in how we do it. You know what I mean? So,
yes, absolutely agree.
And what has happened, I think, at the civil lawsuit that's held on is, I believe it's like 2011 to 2017, I'll have to find out better. All I know is there's a stretch of years that the Duramax diesel engine, the lawsuit allegedly says that General Motors knew that these diesel engines were going to fail because of the internal parts that are in this engine. They were good-built parts, so you're wrong. They were Bosch injectors made in Germany, and I'd rather have them made here in the States somewhere, but they were made in Germany, and what happened is they're designed to run a thicker diesel fuel. Here in the United States, we have a thinner diesel fuel. And what happens is that allows friction, and that allows metal shavings to come off of these parts, off these injectors, and go into the motor. And this lawsuit is alleging that General Motors knew about it. I mean, that's big. Now, with that being said, this last week also, I told Don, General Motors got off on the ignition switch. You know how we had some bad ignition problems?
Oh, yeah.
Got off on it. The judge ruled in favor of General Motors on that. So, I mean, there's stuff going on all over. I'm hearing people talking about what's going on with the contract. God bless his soul. I got a temp from our local. He's on the temp page, and he's telling people to vote no on a contract if it doesn't eliminate the tier system.
God bless him.
And yes, outstanding. Sir. And I told him, brother, you have to cover your backside on that.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, is his first name Patrick?
It might be.
Okay, because somebody keeps coming in and out of the chat room by the name. I won't say his last name.
Right. I never logged into the chat room today. That's my bad.
Well, that's okay.
I'm here now, though.
Log in. Carry on.
So, there's been a lot of things going on this last week. It's been a busy week in the automotive industry. Ultimately, I agree with what John says. I think everybody needs to, Peggy put posted this video all over, and John posted it. Listen to this video. Maybe Brian will be on later. I don't know. Hoping Jimmy would show up. I really want to know what it was like in the courtroom. I heard that there were multiple members and retirees in the courtroom at Norwood sentencing. I want to know if they were whistles and cat calls and applause. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wanted to be there, but I had to work.
Right. I don't know. It's sad, like you said, that we're coming through this, and we need to take the social media and use it as our tool. Understanding, anyone listening to this show, and we got a lot of people from other countries that listen to this show, too. But anyone listening that works here in the United States for Ford, Chrysler, or General Motors, the Solidarity House has maintained a PR firm. And they're going to come out and they're going to try to slant anything in the social media against us. That is a tactic. Now understand, this is supposed to be our union doing this to us, the members. It's against us. Understand that. Is it nice? We're not nice here. This is the adult world. This is scandalous corruption at its finest by a bunch of scared people who are guilty of sin that haven't been hammered yet. They want
to
continue.
You're right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I mean, it's just they want to continue what they've been doing. They're just going to try to figure out a different way to do it so they don't get caught. That's all. That's
right.
The point.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got their retired international reps defending the international leadership, and they tried to change the topic and redirect on the topic that's being discussed, which is that's extremely typical of the tactics that are used when you're on the right track, used against people who are on the right track, to create division and doubt. And one thing that we can't afford to do is to fall for that. There is no doubt in my mind at all. Or I know after talking with Brian and Adrian and Mike today that there's no doubt in their minds that they are standing with the membership and are going to vote for what the Constitution calls for, and that's for the betterment of the membership, improved work hours, wages, benefits. We have sacrificed, and we have more than done our part to help bail them out and put them back on track. And so we now deserve what they promised to do and make it right by us for our sacrifice for their over 10 years of record profits and prosperity that we created.
I agree.
So yeah, I mean, we don't doubt at all that we are going to stand with the membership and we're ready to put up a fight. And we're challenging the rest of the membership to stand together and do the same so that we can all win. The teachers have done it, steel workers, casino workers, people have all been successful who've stood together. Every union that has stood together has won this year, last year and this year, has won better contracts for themselves for the entire membership.
But
so,
I want to reiterate what you just said about the people standing together. Good example is to look what happened at the Teamsters for the UPF. They didn't have a big turnout, which I think, how their language is, let them have an override in the decision of the percentage of the contract. And now UPS is going to be using tiered workers to deliver parts on Sunday. And I think it's now happening. It's going to happen at FedEx now, too. So just to reiterate what you said, you have to stand together and you have to get out and vote. And hold your election committee accountable.
Absolutely. That's one of the things we talked about in our video today, too, was holding the leadership accountable. Because if we don't, we're basically allowing the corruption and the poor representation to continue.
Right.
And none of us want that. So, you know, if it takes you having to file a National Labor Relations Board charge against your representatives to ensure that they properly represent you, well, then that's what you have to do. Now, you don't want to be frivolous. You need to make sure that you have a good, solid case, because, you know, we're not trying to destroy the union. That's the last thing that we want. But we want to hold our leadership accountable and to make them do what they're supposed to be doing, and that's representing us the way that we deserve to be represented.
As compared to the Taft-Hartley and the National Labor Guidelines, and also the Department of Labor, the Department of Labor and the FCC's guidelines, because there's money involved here with pensions and stocks and stuff. With all that being said, and ultimately, the UAW Constitution, that's how we expect to be represented in the national contract. Those are the guidelines.
Right,
and
absolutely.
So, that's where we're at, I think. What's your take on it? John?
What's that? I'm sorry.
What would your take be on that? I mean, do you think that's a fair guideline?
Yeah, I do. I think that's not asking anything more than what's fair and what we deserve. I mean, it's
right.
Pretty clear that that's why it's in there. Is because
right.
as union members, that's what we're supposed to be fighting for.
Right. Now, the Department of Labor and the National Labor Board said that the three things that we are expected to do legally from our leadership is wages, working conditions, and the
benefits.
The third one, and the
benefits.
Yeah. Those are the three things that you're supposed to watch out for us.
Safety. Safety.
Safety.
We can't ever forget safety.
Right. Wages, working conditions, and safety are the kinds of working hours. Safety, it's all in there. They break it
right.
down. It follows what we're talking about. It all falls under one of those three guidelines. But that's the guideline. But you have to go back to the Article 2 of the UAW Constitution, where they talk about trying to make us equal and striving for a higher pay in shorter hours. That's in our Constitution. Instead,
right.
these asshats are taking money and they're getting fancy Italian shotguns and they're buying the corporate bozos $30,000 ink pen. I mean, that's how business was getting done. And people don't seem to understand how important that is. We all were hurt by these national contracts because of what these people were doing. Our leadership, not the membership, what the leadership was doing down in Detroit. And I can say all of them. But I will say a majority of the vice president, absolutely. President, without a doubt. Financial secretary, oh yeah. The money man always knows where the money's going. Okay?
Absolutely.
And as far as the regional directors, I wouldn't put it past them to be not knowing nothing. But, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is there is some support staff down at Solidarity House. That's legitimate. We know one. He occasionally writes into the show Monday morning. Okay? Somebody down there, you know, there are some good people still left down there that think and feel the way we do. But the ones we've got down there in leadership right now, it's a song and dance. The song and dance, folks, that's all it is. You know?
Yeah.
It's business as usual.
Yep, and you know, with this contract, I absolutely, wholeheartedly believe that they're going to make an attempt to put on a good dog and pony show to try to fool the membership, but it's just going to be a show.
Right.
Because I guarantee you, if we turn down the first contract, and then they come to us with another second bullshit contract, and we turn that down, I guarantee you, you'll see their true colors come out come the third time around. And that's when you know that they were putting on a show, trying to make it look good for the public and to pretend to meet the legal requirements of bargaining in good faith, but then I'm sure that they will come out with, or try to come out with, the standard, well, you got to do what's best for you, and if you don't pass this one, well, then they'll move the product overseas.
Good.
Just like we heard the last time. But they forget that some of us aren't stupid and realize that they have to maintain, particularly with Ford and General Motors, since they are American companies, they have to maintain a certain amount of production in this country to meet the national security standard that we need to maintain if we ever go to war. Which, well, it seems like we're always at war. So they're not going to allow them to just pack up everything and leave. The government,
right,
no matter how corrupt the government is, they're not going to jeopardize the national security for that.
No. Just like they were never going to allow them to go bankrupt either, because they knew the millions and millions of jobs that it would have, what that impact would have on nationally on the financial sector in the United States. It would be devastating.
Yes, and unfortunately, that's part of the problem, you know, is that the antitrust laws are not being enforced, and these corporations are too big to fail, or so they say.
Right.
And they're so big that, and they're making billions of dollars to buy laws that benefit them and punish the workers.
Yeah.
And the antitrust laws were put in place to avoid this very thing, and our government is not enforcing them.
Right.
Well, so,
you know, then you get into that what I call that gray area of politics. And I'm not going to argue politics to anybody, I'm just saying, I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Socialist, Independent. People are paid to do other people's bidding. And when it, and what comes out, what favor it's going to get me to support an industry or an individual to help erect a law or to apply a law or even help old-fashioned pork barrel politics. It happens. It happens in the halls of Congress.
Right. And unfortunately, you're never going to get away from the politic thing, because there is, you know, even Walter Reuther admitted it, there's a direct link between unions and politics. And unfortunately, when it comes to politics, people have very different beliefs, and it shouldn't be based on belief. It should be based on facts. But in our case, and I agree with Adrienne Slaughter on this, on the view that she has, is that and most of us know that unions and politics, there's a lot going on there that we need to pay attention to, but we need to now fix our house. So our political differences, we need to temporarily set aside, and we can work those out later. Focus on the things that join us, that we have in common, that bring us together, and fix our house and fight for a good contract. And we fight for a good contract, we fix our house, we get rid of the corruption at the solid house, then we can start to heal our union, and we can start putting in policies and constitutional changes to put an end to the corruption, hopefully forever, ideally. But, you know, that's why we as members always need to stay vigilant, because even if, let's say, we do change the corrupt leadership and things are good for us again, we must still always, as members, remain knowledgeable and vigilant in watching so that it never happens again, because it does, that responsibility does fall on we, the members, to take care of our house.
Well, that, and that's right. And people need to realize, how do I fight for a good contract? How do I fight for a fair contract? Well, folks, there's not a lot of options out there. And if I'm wrong, one of you guys can enlighten me on this and or maybe fill me in on it. But the way I see it, the only way you fight for a decent contract is this. You hold your local completely just – you hold them accountable. I mean, that's all there is to it. You hold them accountable and tell them you're not taking no crap. Don't send no crap down from Detroit or up from Detroit to our local. And the other thing is, it's either a yes or a no vote on the contract. And if that contract doesn't have what you want on that contract, it should be real simple. Vote no. You're saying, like John said, we got to do what's best for you. Well, no. We need to think a step about this, because not only do I need to do what's best for me, I need to do what's going to be best for me in the future, too. It's not about now, because we were all given the song and dance. Remember this one, Don? We didn't leave anything on the table.
Oh, no. Yeah. Here's a few times.
Do you remember that? I know why they didn't leave nothing on the table. Hell, they were giving it to Ike and Belly, and Norwood Jewel was taking it.
Right, they were putting it in their own pockets.
Exactly. And they said that to everybody. And now the Jeep plant down in Toledo, if I remember right, they ran Norwood Jewel out of there.
Yep. Yeah.
So all I'm just trying to say is, if you think our leadership is all that in a bag of Wheaties, better wake up, because they're not. We need to hold them accountable. And ultimately, it will end up probably be a thousands of us at the front of Solidarity Gate. Somebody asked me when the government's going to take over our union. I said, wow, that's an interesting concept. I said, I definitely don't want to be dechartered. We don't want the UAW to be dechartered.
Absolutely not.
Our union's not broke. Our union has corrupt leadership in place that are making piss-poor decisions for contracts that favor the corporation instead of taking care of their members. And unfortunately, we don't have a one member, one vote. We don't have that. Not yet. We don't have that. And people need to understand, the International Executive Board is self-governing. That means if JJ catches, this is just a for instance, folks, if Jimmy catches, or John catches a representative, an international representative doing wrong, and he catches him, and he documents that, and he takes that case in front of the International Executive Board. The International Executive Board sets down with their executive administrative assistant. They sit down on this big conference table. They talk to the individual. They go through the case. And if they find that international rep not guilty, no matter what John has brought forth in evidence, he can have pictures. If that name can explain that away, he's found not guilty, and that charge goes away. That's the kind of power that our International Executive Board has, the IEB. So we're fighting not corporations, but we're fighting our leadership as a member of trying to continue to make record profits with corporations. And, you know, you've heard me talk about the wealth everybody makes that generates for the corporation. And here at General Motors, I'm going to say between $1.1 and $1.5 million generated. The wealth is generated for the corporation by those individuals. Now, you take all those individuals and add that up over the last 10 years, it's a lot of money. $20 million a person, if not more, that's a lot of money. So, it seems like it's an uphill battle, but it isn't. It's all in our hands. It's as easy as saying no. It's as easy as taking the temp and telling the temper, I don't feel right with you voting on a part of a contract that involves my pension, and you shouldn't be allowed to, and that means you should be disenfranchised. But in the same case, if retirees aren't allowed to vote on this contract, and it's their pensions too, then the temper shouldn't be allowed to vote on the contract either. On that portion that deals with the pension language. There's things we've got to hold these people accountable. And what I'm trying to say is the only way we can hold them accountable is by a very loud, very, very loud no. 1, 2, 3, 4 times. If they come back and say they got a shitty contract the third time, to tell them, evidently, you can't bargain a good contract for us. You need to get somebody who can. I mean,
absolutely.
We might wind up with sit-down strikes again, John.
Well, we're going to have to do what we got to
do. So, what was you going to say?
You know, it comes down to we got to do what we have to do for the membership, for the betterment of our members and our union. And
retire.
I agree.
I
agree with the great Dick Dangin. You know, if they try to pull that crap where they only give us a couple of days to look over the contract, that's going to be an automatic no vote because they're obviously hiding something because they don't want us to take time to properly review the contract to find the flaws. The other thing is that we need to work together to review the contract, regardless of how much time they give us. But after reviewing it, I know there's going to be a bunch of us out there that are going to be talking and posting on social media the deficiencies that we have found. And when we find them, I agree with Mr. Dangin that we don't even bother going to the meeting, that we just simply exercise our right to go to the polls and vote no. There's no point in wasting your time to go to an explanation meeting when you already know that the union leadership has agreed to present us with a shitty contract. Why waste your time and go listen to them explain the shitty contract? Just don't go and just vote no. Oh, right. That rhymed. Don't go, just vote no.
There you go. Or if you want to entertain yourself, you can go there, be somewhat prepared, and hold the International Duty Squad accountable for the piss-poor decision that they're trying to tell you and sell you in the highlights. Like, well, Don's seen it. I was able to do that a couple of times. And Cindy Estrada, executive administrative assistant, was just, she couldn't talk. Remember that, Don?
Oh, yeah. I remember. Couldn't answer nothing.
And people, and Don and I, and his wife, and us up there, we're looking at each other, and somebody else is there with us, looking at us. People didn't even pay attention to what we were talking about. They were squabbling over some signing bonus money. Like, are you kidding me? I'm talking about something that's dealing with our health care, and you're worried about a couple thousand dollars for a signing bonus?
That's
are
right.
Are you kidding me? And, I mean, it's ridiculous. I took a day off. I went to all three of the what they call the roll-up meeting, and I questioned on all three of them. Different things at that. And every one of those things that I questioned them on should have been an automatic come right out of the shop chairman or your union president's mouth at that local step up there and say, that's a good point. We should vote no on this contract. But no. That don't happen.
Well,
that don't
they
happen
can't say that, though. You know that.
No, they can't.
Why can't they?
Because
why
then that's
they?
Bargaining in bad faith. If they agree to a potential contract by law, they cannot speak out against it. But what they can do is they can inform the membership of their right to vote it down if they don't think that it's a good contract.
I don't know if Don was there when I was. Mark Hawkins was still our top chair, and he had one of Owen Fiber's boys there, and I can't remember the other guy's name. He was kind of stocky, had a red beard, red hair. He looked at it, kind of reminded me of a big pit bull, a big bulldog. And Mark Hawkins come out. He told everybody in his opinion. He didn't speak officially as chairman, but he said in his opinion of a local member of 598 that in his opinion this contract was not good enough for the members. When he said that, he was pulled backstage. I think you might have been there, Don, or heard about it.
I was there.
He was pulled backstage. They took a pause. And he came back in, and he says, we need to vote yes on this contract. Don't tell me they can't.
Yeah.
Your chairman's looking out for his membership. He's going to find a way to make sure that, make it very crystal clear that this is a bad contract. Or make it very clear that we should seek alternative measures to see if there's a better contract or something, you know, along that line. You know what I mean?
Well, there are ways to properly inform the members of their rights and the difference in the between the contracts of past and present. But they can't legally, because according to the National Labor Relations Act, if the company found out that a bargaining representative spoke against the contract, they can file charges against the union for bargaining in bad faith. But, like I said, they can't do anything about the leadership informing the members of their rights and educating them on the differences and the differences of the contract between the outgoing and incoming proposed contract. They are within their rights to do that.
Or could they help the membership by explaining the differences between the last contract and the contract we got now, or a contract from, let's say, 2003 to the contract we have now?
If they're educating the members on contract language, that's allowed.
Right. Well, all I'm saying is, if your shop chairman is so concerned about his members, he will find a way, however that may be, to make the point clear that it's not a good contract. But you know as well as I know, they're all told when they get pulled down to Solidarity House, they always meet off site, they break out the contract, they're all told to go back there and sell them to your local.
Not always. Because there are, unless it's bargained for, because they can bargain it, by the way, when they bargain and reach an agreement, the part of the agreement is that the international and local reps support the contract, that they have to support the contract. Now, if there isn't an agreement like that between the union and the company, it is the right of any representative to say that this is the agreed upon proposal and we... they don't have to come out and support it, and they can just simply say that this is the proposal, and this is what it says, and it is your right as a union member to vote no if you so choose, or to vote yes if you so choose. And if they get specifically asked, do you support this contract? They can simply say, I don't have a comment. But they can't say that they don't support it.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, because a lot of the membership hasn't educated themselves or are not paid attention or just more worried about what's the signing bonus going to be. It said, are we getting the cost of living allowance back on paycheck? Or, gee, you know, this guy's been working the last 5 years as a temporary, but you think he should be hired in full-time and be made whole as a seniority employee? I mean, I understand that a pension would be another, a whole other issue to try to tackle. But, gee, couldn't we hire this guy in? That's kind of where I'm at with that. You know what I mean?
Well, in our video, I did show a chart of the – I basically took my – or something similar to my earnings and bonuses, put it into a chart, and then I took my pay and I added a 3% annual pay increase. And over the 4-year contract, I would have received between $10,000 and $14,000 more that year if I would have had an annual pay raise versus signing bonus and profit sharing.
Right.
That's a huge, huge difference. If people were told the truth about the difference between a signing bonus and a pay raise, you would be an absolute fool to take a bonus over a pay raise, because the only one that benefits from handing out bonuses is the company, because it saves them a ton of money and it costs us a lot more because we pay higher taxes on it.
Yeah. Now, I'm not above saying that we shouldn't have a pay raise. Okay. I'm not above that. What I'm saying is, if you want profit sharing, you can leave it on the table. But we're not gonna talk about that until after we get the pay raise and we get the temporary language gone. See, that's a true bonus for what your sacrifice has been for the year. Other than that, you just need to pay me more up front and get rid of the tier system. Put the cost of living back in here. You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying?
Absolutely agree.
You know, that's just if you really feel you have a giving heart and a large heart and you want to share with us about all the record profits you made, and you want to give us a piece of that profit sharing. We'll gladly take that. That's not going to be contingent on a pay raise. That's going to be a standalone issue. And it's never been bargained that way, I don't think. Has it? Ever?
Well, I only have 14 years, so I can't answer that. The 14 years that I've been a member, we've been giving concessions. And profit sharing was initially meant to reward the workers for having an extra good year.
Right.
It wasn't meant to be an income supplement in lieu of a pay raise. It was meant to be in addition to and reward for the hard work, dedication, and unexpected increase in profits for the year.
Right. Yeah. And people understand if I have a higher base wage and I have the cost of living allowance, the money that I earn through this year and let's say through the next 4 or 5 years, going through contract, when I get the Social Security don't care how many bonuses and profit sharing checks you got. They're going to look at that standard, and they're going to take so many years of the highest and so many years of the lowest. You're going to average them out. And if you just keep getting bonuses and your wages stay stagnant, and I'm going to say stagnant because we got a dollar an hour raise, a $40 a week raise, what we got the last contract. If you think about that, We had nothing 13 years before that. Not a thing.
Are you, you must
record
be skilled trade.
No,
are,
I'm
are
not
you,
skilled trade. No. No.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm thinking, you're right. I'm at a different pay scale, and my wage hasn't increased in 12 years. The only thing I've had is a pay cut. So,
right. So, see, where me and Don were at was as a senior employee, we never got a raise at that time. See, in 2003 was. We didn't, from that point on, we never got a raise. Fact of it is, in 2007, we were supposed to get a raise, and this is what brought us into the Viva case, the Henry case, Henry 1 case, was, and if I can remember, they come out and they hit that floor hard with everybody that we need to help the retirees out with their health care. So what we're going to do is, in lieu of us getting $1.25 hour raise that year, they're going to roll that over and to help the retirees with their benefits. Remember that, Don? Don, I'm not there.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Now, the dirty little secret is behind that language, John, this is for all of us. This is across the board. Yeah, see if you can find this out. That language never disappeared. And if you look into the fine details of the deal, as the guy from Wall Street said, the devil is in the deal. If you open it up and look, you find out not only do I get this percentage coming forward, but every time you work over, I get a percentage of that money too. Just kind of like our COLA. We still get COLA, but it don't come in our paycheck. It gets diverted to the Viva. And with this deal going forward since 2007, that's generated a lot of money. A lot of money. We don't know.
Another thing to consider about bonuses versus pay raises, those of us that have been in the auto industry for what? Well, let's say at least 10 years. If you came in at the end of the downturn, you heard about it. If you've been in for 12 years or longer, you definitely know that every so often there's a downturn and there's usually a bad year, usually between, 6 months to maybe 15 months, we'll have a slump, right?
Right.
Right.
And that's not due to any fault of the workers. We're still working as hard as we ever did. So if they have a bad profit year, we don't get the bonuses. But we still work as hard as ever. We've done our part, yet we get punished for something that we have absolutely no control over. But now if you had a pay raise, you're going to get that money in your check each and every single week.
Right. And so you account for the Social Security.
Right. And so, I mean, by far, the best choice, yeah, it's nice to have, you know, quick cash money up front in your hand, but when you average it out, and you look at the pros and cons, the cons far outweigh the pros with bonuses, and the pros far outweigh the cons with pay raises. Not to mention
right.
the fact that when you have that money in your paycheck every week, and they force you to work overtime, you have more, even more, for your family than you would with a bonus, and
right.
it keeps growing, whereas a bonus, you could lose. You could wind up with a nice fat one 1 year and barely anything the next year, So now your annual income has suffered. Your total annual income has suffered. But if you had that pay raise, that money that you can count on each and every single week, now you can properly budget and you're more apt to better spend, wisely spend that money instead of having a lump sum and you blow it on whatever you blow it on and then it's gone.
Right. Right. Well, it's sad. We have to have this discussion. Talking about our union, our brothers and sisters, our leadership, and that's not paying attention to what's going on. I mean, this is contract time, folks. This is important stuff that we're talking about. These things that we're addressing, we're trying to help so you understand how important this is. Pay attention to what's going on. It's going to affect you, your family, your spouse, your sibling, your children, maybe your mom, your dad. It's going to affect the retiree. Retirees haven't gotten anything in the last two contracts either. And those people, the one before us, they pioneered some of the stuff that's going on. You know? So when one of us suffers, we all suffer. I guess so to say. They've been. But anyway, on a positive note, did you see Mahindra is looking at investing in Michigan?
What was that?
Mahindra is looking at investing in Michigan.
Who's Mahindra?
You haven't heard about that?
No.
Well, Mahindra actually makes tractors and a thing that looks like a Jeep, like an old Willys Jeep, like an old World War II Jeep or a MASH Jeep. Anyway, and they make bicycle and other things. They are looking at building on the old Buick City complex.
Yes, they are. And Flint.
Bring thousands of jobs into Michigan. Flint, Flint, Michigan, at that.
Well, that's good news.
Yes, it is.
It is. They're looking at if everything go that way, they're eyeballing 2,000 jobs. So,
it sure would help.
I would imagine. Right, I would imagine. It's Mahindra Automotive North America. He's based out of Auburn Hills. And he would like to see that would happen. I think it's contingent on a few things that are going on. But he wants to bring this facility into Flint, Michigan. And because Mahindra falls under agricultural and automotive, I'm sure the UAW would have something going on with that as far as a union and representing the workers. So that was some good news. And Lockport plant secured business for future vehicles. I don't know if you heard that or not. They got GM powertrain. They got high volume vehicles that reach transmissions and powertrain parts. And all I'm going to say is our brothers and sisters, if there's anybody that listens at Lockport, be careful. Lordstown took $150 million worth of concessions off the table to help keep your plan open. I don't think if they did that or not, but I'm just saying nowadays we really have to watch what happens. Just like your favorite person, sellout Cindy, in Lake Orion, Lordstown, they came in, had an MOU signed up with the, would have been the ex-shop chairman or an ex-union president, as soon as you find out that there was a deal made to cut material drivers out and revert that over to an outside supplier. You know, we're always in the mood to make jobs, create jobs, help maintain and keep jobs, not get rid of jobs. And as soon as one of those elected officials had been found out that they knew about what was going on in Detroit, that local should have brought them up on charges and had them removed. Period. Conduct unbecoming of a union brother or sister. Conduct unbecoming of an elected representative of the UAW. Period. So, just things to watch out for. But I'm glad for right now they've got some security. I know it's a hard thing to say in our world, right?
Right.
Well, I'm hoping that everybody remembers these things during contract time, because, you know, we've been giving and giving and giving and giving, and we were told that, oh, well, we have to give these concessions to protect jobs. That's what we were told. But yet we found out it was completely the opposite. We gave concessions at Lordstown, and what do they go ahead and turn around and do? Idle the plant, close it. Done. Finished. So why are you going to go down like a fish in a barrel and not fight back? Just rolling over
right.
And letting them walk all over us? Hell, if they're going to screw us, we might as well fight back.
Right. I agree. And, you know, and where is our union leadership when all these things are happening about the Ford recalls and the Chrysler recalls, the General Motor recalls? Where are they at? Why are they silent? That's our job viability, is making good saleable vehicles for the first time. You know, the old man used to talk about first time quality. Back when Don was working, when we had more than 13 or 15 trucks going to repair off the final line, they stopped the line. They figured out what they had to figure out what the problem was.
Yep.
They don't do that now.
They don't do that anymore. Or they didn't anyway.
Right. Just before you quit, or before you retired, that's what they were doing. So, yeah, things have changed, but I don't know. And my word, they're looking at the Cadillac, the CT6 with the rear-wheel drive, the V, the high output. I call it the Cadillac Roadster. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's a rocket. Anyway, the production that's being held up for contract time now. So General Motors is going to hold that over somebody's head for negotiation. And like John said earlier, when they threatened to move the jobs to China or Mexico or where they want to move it. I'll help you pass. Go ahead. Won't be nobody here to buy your product, though. Go ahead.
Exactly.
No.
You know, every time we turn around, they threaten it. They threaten it. And then we give in. And then they go ahead and do it anyway.
And they do it anyway.
So if we all stood together, they can't ship them all out. Well, they could. Then for national security, we'll have somebody else come in and replace them. And the government could easily say that what you did was an act of treason. You're no longer allowed to sell your product here anymore. We're going with brand X. It's that simple.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's time that we get some huevos, some cojones. And
right.
Call them on their bluff and say, go ahead, I dare you. because they stand to lose a hell of a lot more than we do. A hell of a lot more.
Right.
Yeah, we might fall behind in our bills, maybe a month, maybe two. But we'll bounce back.
Always have.
Bill will lose billions, and they're not going to get those billions back anytime soon.
Right. Right.
So who stands to lose more? They do. So go ahead. Go ahead and cut your own throat. Tank your stock. Because
right.
while you're moving, you're not building any cars. You're losing market share. And you're losing market share for every point that you lose. That's billions, multiple billions of dollars from losing 1% of the market share.
Right. You know, amongst things that are going on in China and Mexico, they've already cut production in Canada. You know?
And the thing is, you know, they continue to try, anyway, they try to perpetuate that fear to that power. Well, if we call them out on their bluff, sure, go ahead. Love to see the looks on their faces. They would... What's that noise?
Yeah, what is that, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
Rustling paper.
Paper?
What the hell are you
doing? Somebody's rustling papers or moving something around.
Are you spanking mama or something? What's going on over there?
Let's not end the show like this again, please. No.
Damn.
Is that better? I'll stay perfectly still. Is that better?
That's better.
Well, at least I can hear John.
But, but yeah, I would love to see the looks on their faces when we all stand together and say, go ahead, let's see what you got. Go ahead and lose billions and tank your stock. I dare you. Because... They're not gonna have a job as a executive officer or a CEO for very long when they tank the company.
Right. Right. Good idea.
So, you know, they can't build them without us, and you know. I don't think that other union brothers and sisters are going to be too happy and ever buy their product when 1 million-plus people lose their jobs across the country because, let's say it's General Motors, decides to pull the trigger and throw their whole company in the toilet. I don't think other... other union brothers and sisters whose family has been affected are going, you know, that are millwrights and electricians. I don't think they're going to be really too apt to move real quick to be moving that equipment out of the country for them. So that'll cost them even more money.
Yep.
Because when labor stands together, we win.
That is true. We have about a minute to go, guys. 1 minute.
Okay.
Well, it's been a pleasure, gentlemen, as always. It's been a long day for me. I had to work this morning. I got up at 5 a.m., so... I had to be to work at 5 a.m. I got up at 3 a.m., but... I'm looking forward to a shower, and my bed is screaming my name.
Imagine it is. All right, guys. John, on behalf of John, Scott, myself, my name's Fred, and it's Brian. He's not here, and the rest of the Hee Haw gang. We wish you a safe, safe week. Talk to your fellow workers. It's running out, folks. September is right around the corner.
Yep.
Yes, and it's going to start snowing any week now. I can just feel it.
Stop it.
Oh, yeah, I heard that comment, Don. I'm looking forward to the snow. You're not scaring me because that means it's hunting season.
Oh, God. My bones just started hurting. I used to hunt a long time ago. The older I get, I just cannot stand the snow anymore. I used to love it. Not anymore.
Did you flip rock back then, or did you actually have a paper shell?
Scott, I can still hit both of you and outrun both of you, so shut the F up. Young punks. I don't know if I can outrun JJ, but I know I can outrun you, Scott.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
Alrighty.
Have a great week. Be safe. And everybody, be safe. And we'll be back next Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the UAW Factory Worthless Show. Good night, everybody.
Good night.